We begin the current daf Masech the Sanhedrin daf Mem Vav. Begins 7 lines down at the top of the Yomit. The Gemara continues explaining the halach of our Mishnah in the previous daf, which was continuing explaining the procedures of a person that's liable for the death penalty of skila of getting stoned. So it said that after that he gets stoned, then they hang him. So the Mishnah quoted Ish Toilin, that a man they hang, Chulu, etc., where there was a machlekes regarding if they hang a woman. So the Gemara says, my time, Rabbanu, what's the reason of the Rabbanu who hold that you don't hang a woman? Why should there be any difference, any discrepancy in the execution of stoning of a woman than there is by a man? So that says the Gemara, because Amakar, the Pasuk says, in Devarim, v'salisa oisa, you should hang him, which tells you, oisa, v'lo yosa, you hang him in the masculine, not her. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi Eliezer, he would tell you, no, this oisa that it says of the hanging is also to say, similarly like we said regarding the stoning, it means b'lo kisusai. It's coming to say that you hang him without his clothing. It's saying him in contrast to something else external to him, which is his clothing, but it's not saying him in contrast to her, which is just no terminology that would say this Aphrodite type of terminology. It's saying him and not his clothing, but it's not coming to exclude her, that she, however, also gets stoned. Whereas Rabbanan, they would say, Enechanami, you're right. The Eisai by hanging is to exclude regarding that of stoning. Whereas Tosfos says, although that they're already naked from the stoning, you would think that maybe you would dress them when they're hanging. Ella, Amakra, rather he says, but the Pasuk says over there, V'chiyeh be'ishchet, if a man will have a sin, and then you kill him and you hang him. Which tells you, ish v'la'isha. That's how we exclude a woman. It says a man and not a woman. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, hay v'chiyeh be'ish my darsh. But what does he expound with that? He doesn't say ish v'la'isha because he holds that a woman does have to hang. That a Mesh Lakish says a hula ma'ute ben serimai, that comes to exclude the wayward and defiant child, where although that he gets the punishment of skill of getting stoned, on that the pasuk is coming to exclude him from getting hanged, which is it says in the pasuk ish, and the ben serimai is not yet an adult, a man, because to the contrary, if he actually was fit to have children already, he actually wouldn't be judged in the punishment of ben serimai, as the pasuk says ben, he has to be called the son, not already an adult. So therefore, it's coming to exclude ben serimai. Now the Gemara says, and that's what he uses ish for, ish b'le ben, but not ish b'le isha. Now the Gemara asks, but v'tan went in the b'raisa, ben sere mire niskel v'nitla, he gets stoned and get hung, div Rabbi Eliezer. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We're trying to explain Rabbi Eliezer, and we see clearly he holds that a ben sere mire does get hung. So ish cannot be might ben sere mire. Alam Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says to the contrary, it's l'rabbis ben sere mire. The terminology of ish is including ben sere mire. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? In other words, how could you include from Ish ben Sarimur? To the contrary, if ben Sarimur was already an Ish, he actually would not be judged by being stoned and then to hang. So how are you including? To the contrary, it should be excluding. And that says, you might know, because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, V'chiyeh be'ishchet, if a man will have a sin, which tells you Ish v'le ben. Yes, a man and not a son. But then when it says, chet, that if a man will have a sin, tells you, Misha al-chet never go, only referring to someone that gets killed because of his sin. Yatza ben Sarimur, that excludes a ben Sarimur who actually never sinned, as the Mishnah teaches later on in Perek ben Sarimur, Naf Ayin Bezim and Aleph, that the Mishnah expresses wonderment that because this guy ate a certain amount of meat and drank a certain amount of wine, the Torah says that he should get stoned. Rather, it's Sha'al Shem Seif in there. He gets executed because of the Torah realizes what's going to end up happening, that he's going to end up using all his father's money. He's still going to want to, however, fix his needs that he needs. He's not going to find, so he's going to go to the crossroads and he's going to kill people, etc. We know he's going to end up doing something that's going to be bad, therefore they kill him. But Chet tells you that we don't go ahead and hang someone that's killed because of that's not his sin. Ben Sarimur is not getting, he didn't do any sin, it's what he might do, what he will do. So Havamir, Achamir, so essentially, this is a double exclusionary halacha of a Ben Sarimur. Because Ish already tells you B'lei Ben, and Chet tells you not a Ben Sarimur, because Chet is only if he did a sin, Ben Sarimur didn't do a sin. And that's one of the midas in the Torah, that Ve'ein Mir Achamir El Rabbis, that if you have something excluding something, and again excluding it, to the contrary, actually, it's not only not going to exclude it, the double exclusion is actually including it, and that's how we actually know the halacha that Rabbi Eliezer himself said, that Ben Sarimur is niskel v'nitle. So you don't use ish to say ish v'le'isha, because he holds a woman does get hanged. To the contrary, it's excluding a ben. But Chet is excluding a ben Sarimur. Yes, they're both excluding mit achamit, it's l'rabbis, that's actually where we know to include the Ben Sarimur, who gets stoned and also gets hung. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that Amalem Rabbi Eliezer said to the Chacham who said, they said that a woman doesn't get hung. He says, what are you talking about? He hung 80 women in Ashkelon and you see that we do hang women. On that they said to him, no, I can prove to you, say the Chacham, that that's an exception to the rule, because as it is, he went and judged him all in one day. We don't judge different death penalties from the same court on the same day. Obviously, it was a shas hakayish. It was something that was the moment needed it, and therefore the same thing applies to hanging the women. But we generally do not hang women, just like we don't generally judge different death penalty cases on the same day. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this opinion of the Chachamim. Omer Rav Chisda, lo yishano ele b'shtei mises. We didn't learn that one court cannot execute two people on the same day, only if it's two different death penalties. Avo b'misa achas done. But if it's one death penalty, then we could judge that. Because the reason is, of two court cases, because it's not possible to analyze both of them at the same time, where if it's the same death penalty, then you could. And that has to get more, but what do you mean, the incident with Shimon ben Shetach, the Misa Achaz Habir, he executed all 80 women with the same death penalty of hanging them, the Ka'amr Lay Dain Dana, and the Chacham were telling Rabbi Eliezer, how can you bring a proof from that incident? Obviously, that was an exception to the rule, because he went and judged them all on the same day. But if you say the old halacha that you're not allowed to is when it's different death penalties, what's the proof? He did the same death penalty, and that's allowed. So how are you showing that it's an exception to the rule? Ella rather says, Gemara, if there was a teaching of Rav Chisda, it was said as follows. We didn't say this halacha, that you're not allowed to judge on the same day, even if it's the same death penalty, but if it's like two different death penalties. What is that like? Mean to say that if it was committed by two different types of sins, which are not the same, even though they have the same death penalty, for example, Chil Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, and for sure when they're two different death penalties, that's where we say you can't do it on the same day. But if the same death penalty and it's the same sin, for example, let's say two people were Mechal Shabbos, or both of them were Boil and Naira Marasa, then done, and then the court could go ahead and judge them both and execute them regarding the sin on the same day. However, the 80 women by the story of Shimon ben Shetach, they didn't commit the same sin, because although they were practicing sorcery and witchcraft, which they're liable for a death penalty, but some would do the witchcraft of Eiv, some would do that one of Yudaini, and the Torah differentiates between those two different types of as different sins. And Shimon ben Shetach, however, L'tzayrich Shav, because the moment required it, went ahead and judged them all on the same day, which is an exception to the rule. And that's the proof that they were saying that don't prove from there that he hung women, because generally we don't. But again, that was an exception, the moment needed it at that point. However, Masav Rav Adbar Abba, he questions from the following brisa on this qualification that the Gemara just quoted from Rav Chisda. The brisa says, "Ain done in shnayim b'yamecha." We don't judge two death penalties on the same day. Even regarding two people that commit adultery, which it's the same death penalty, and it's the same sin, and yet still we see the Brisa says you're not allowed to judge two death penalties on the same day. Not like Rav Chisda said, in that case you would be able to. So Tigam Rav Chisda interpreted the Brisa, meaning this halacha of Ravada, which we just said that it was his halacha of Ravada, he interprets it by saying it's Bebas Kayin, we're talking about a daughter of a Kayin, whether she's engaged or married, Ubayala, and the man who had relations with her, where she gets a death penalty of Sreifa. But the one who had relations with her actually gets judged like a man who is Boil any Jewish woman, where if he had relations with a girl that was engaged, he gets stoned. And if he had relations with a married woman, he gets Chenek, he gets the penalty, death penalty of being choked to death. Like the Pasuk says, in Vayikra Chavav, he ba'ishti serv, Abbas Kayim, she gets judged by fire, which that he is exclusionary term, he b'loy Boilah, her and not the one who had relations with her, and he v'leizim memel, which was actually regarding the Gemara's next answer, which is, this is on Daphne and Alpha Manaf, where it says, and not the ones who did hazama, they actually will not get the death penalty that they, even though they would have had her get the death penalty, that they don't get that death penalty. So therefore, although it's a noif and a ephes, similarly the same very same death penalty, it's not the same death penalty, because she's going to get sreifa and he's going to get either skila or chenek. Or another case we could explain this halacha, we're talking about, again, a Bas Kayin, and we're talking about that there were three sets of witnesses. The original set of witnesses that said they committed this sin. Then we had a different group of witnesses that says, no, how could you say that you were with us at that time? They were mazim then. And then the third set of witnesses that were mazim the mazimim, that said, no, how can you say that they were there with you at that time? You were with us in a different place at that time. Where there the halacha is, based on the third groups of witnesses' testimony, her and the second pair of witnesses get killed. But it's not going to be the same death penalty. She's going to get, as a Bas Kayin Sreifa, and they're going to get the death penalty of the Bayil. So again, so the case is as we described, where if there's a pair of witnesses that were mazen the first pair of witnesses, and because of that, they wanted to make that first pair of witnesses liable for the death penalty of the Bayil, and not the death penalty that they wanted to make for the girl. As we said before, as says Dvarim Yotes, Kasha Zamim Lasis La'achiv, it says that when they plotted what they were plotting to do to their brother, which tells us, V'loy La'achis, as the Gemara says later in Daf Tzadi Yemen Aleph, that the Hazama only works for the man part and not for the woman part. So now when another pair of witnesses come in, Mazim de Mazimim, it comes out that in that one testimony, in this court case that we're litigating, she's going to be liable because of the, now it's going to revert back to the original pair of witnesses, because the ones that were Mazim them are themselves Suizim. She's going to get Sreifa based on the first pair of witnesses. And the Mazimim that were Mazim the first pair, they're going to get now Chenik, because that's what they wanted to make them liable for, because although we call the Noif and the Office, it's they're taking the role of the Nayef because they're getting the death penalty that they wanted to make that the man should have, and therefore it's going to be two different death penalties, and therefore it doesn't contradict Rav Chisna. If it was the same Aver, which it is, and the same death penalty, then you would be able to judge both of them on the same day. We're talking about that either Har and Arbayil or Har and the Zeme Zememeha, they are getting different death penalties because the Hazama works with the man's part and not with Har part, and therefore that's why you can't do them at the same day. But it doesn't contradict Rav Chisna. Now the Gemara continues relating to this incident of Shimon ben Shatach, where the Chacham had said to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't bring any proof from there because Hashot Tzrich Lekach. Sometimes we do things that are not according to the primary halacha, which is to enforce halacha. Tan learned in Breiser, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Emi, he says, Shemati, I heard from my teachers, that Shebezdin, that a court is permitted to be makin. There are a lot of hit people with lashes, v'inchin, and to punish a death penalty, Shalem and Atar, not from the Torah, but v'loy, it's not that their intention should be lavral de return to violate the words of Torah. In other words, to make things up, a death penalty that the person is not liable at all. Ella, rather, it's because of what's required in the moment, to make a fence, a guard for the Torah. Umaisa, and there was such an incident, that was riding on a horse on Shabbos in the days of the Greeks. And they brought him to court and they stoned him. Now, not because he was fit to be stoned, because actually riding on a horse is only a rabbinic, it's only a shvus b'alma. It's just that the moment required it because the Jewish people had a huge breach in sinning because they saw the pressures that they were getting the Jewish people because the Greeks made so many decrees on them and people were starting to be disgraced with mitzvahs, and therefore even though he only were even on the derabbanan, they gave him the death penalty. Another time there was an incident, a man had relations with his wife beneath a fig tree out in the open. And they brought him to the court and they gave him lashes. Now, not because this is any direct rabbinic violation or biblical to get lashes, rather the moment required it because this was a breach in modesty, having relations out in the open, and therefore they get lashes. Again, that was we find the incident with Shimon Shetach, that there are times that the Chacham could go ahead and do certain things that violate basic Torah law, but again, not to violate it, but to actually to support the Torah's law. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnayis, which is, as we said, after that he's stoned, then he gets hung. So says the Mishnah, Ketzer tell Nasi, how do we hang him? So the Mishnah says, Mishaken es akari ba'aretz. They stick they submerge the beam into the ground. V'ha'etz yaitzi. And then there's a wood that comes out from that beam, and horizontal from that vertical beam, which is some type of like a T, which is near towards the top of that pole. Umakif, the word makif is related to the word of putting it close, where they put the shtei yadav zuagavzu, they put the person's hands one on top of the other on that horizontal beam. And then they hang him from his hands. That's the time the Kamer B'Yisrael. I mean, he says that actually they wouldn't stick the pole into the ground. Rather, hakar muta l'kaisel. The beam was actually just laying on the wall. In other words, it had one head of the pole was on the ground, and the other one was leaning on the wall. The toilets and they were hanging the person the way the butchers hang their meat. Mat says the Mishnah Matir Nais Miyad, they would immediately untie the person who's deaderated from being stoned from where he was hanging. Now, Vimlan, if they actually left him there overnight, say they violate a negative prohibition. So them, like the Pasuk says, Nevarim, Lisol Nevlos Al Yitzi, not let it hang his dead body on the wood overnight. Ki kovetik veranda, because you're supposed to bury him. Ki kilas elikim tolu v'goyimer, because it's the curse of God that's hanging, etc. What does that mean? Kolayma says the Mishnah. What it's coming to say is b'mnei mazeh atoli. Because why is this guy hanging? B'mnei sheberich Hashem, because he cursed Hashem. So it's going to cause that the name of heaven will be desecrated, because everyone's going to say, who's that guy hanging over there? And they're going to say, oh, because he cursed God. And that's not an appropriate thing to even say. And actually, that's why we use the term Mevarech Es Hashem, which is euphemistically used in that way. And therefore, to avoid that, he should just go up and quickly be taken down and definitely not left overnight. Now, the Mishnah actually brings a different interpretation in that pasuk. Amar Meir, he says, B'shasha Adam Mitztar. At a moment when the person is in pain because he's getting punished because of his sins, Shchinah Malosh Nemeres. What does the divine presence say? In other words, what terminology does it moan and shake on because of the person? So it's as if the Shchinah is saying Kalani Mireishi, Kalani Mizrei. In other words, like a person who is worn out and tired, who says that my head is heavy on me and my arm is heavy on me. And that's what when the pasuk is saying Kilalas Elikim. It's when the word kilas can be broken up into the word kal-less. That I'm not light. To the contrary, I'm heavy because of this person who is killed and is hanging. So says Reb Meir, Im Kain, Hamokim Mitztar Al Dam Shel Rishon Shenishbach. If this is how the divine presence, this is how Hashem is in pain regarding the blood of a wicked person that's spilled, because he obviously did a sin where he was stoned and now he's hanging. Kavuchim Adam Shel Tzadikim, all the more so regarding the blood of the righteous. Now, continues the Mishnah regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, not only regarding the one who is being hung because of the sin that he did that he was stoned for, that we said that if he's not buried and he's left overnight, that there's a negative prohibition that's violated. Whoever leaves his dead person, that his relative that wasn't buried overnight, violates a negative prohibition, as the Gemara learns from a brisa, from the extra word, tikpareno. Now, but says the Mishnah, if they left him overnight and didn't bury him for his honor, to bring him a coffin, to bring him burial shrouds, then one does not violate the negative prohibition. Now, the Mishnah continues, now, going back to what we're saying regarding this person who was stoned and then we hung him, that he wouldn't be buried in where his fathers were buried, and because as the Gemara explains, we don't bury a wicked person near righteous people. Rather, there were two burial areas that were prepared for the court, as the Gemara learns from the reason is halacha meshmesina that we don't make four different ones for the four different types of death penalties. Rather, two groupings, which achas l'naragel nachaka, one burial, one cemetery was for those that were the lower death penalties. That one, which is beheaded and choked, v'achas l'niskal nistraf, and the other one was for those who were stoned and got burnt. Now, nesachal abasa, when finally his flesh is decomposed, and he already got an atonement for his death and all his degradation, then malachtin esat. Some is then you gather his bones, but then you bury it in its place, meaning in the place of the burial plots of his family, of his fathers. Now, v'akreven boim b'shoyel and b'shlem hadiyon b'shloim ha'edim, and then the relatives come and ask to see how the judges and the witnesses are doing after that their relative was executed. In other words, what they're coming to say is when they come to say shalom is she'im b'lebein aleichem, we have nothing in our heart on you. Shadin emes dantem, because you judge a truthful verdict. Now we continue to Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah v'lohoyu misablin, they would not conduct with avelus in public mourning regarding this person who was executed. So that should be another degradation. That should be an atonement for him. Avelainen, but they do go ahead and conduct themselves with aninus, because that's not any honor for the one who was killed. And that won't prevent any atonement. Shein aninus el b'lev, because aninus is only the heart. That they could mourn in their heart, but not a public display, because we want to be mevaz of the person as an atonement for his neshama. Now the Gemara says, talking about Mu'un Nebraisa, explaining this, continuing on the halachas of our Mishnah, ilu nemer chet v'salisa. Had the pasuk only said that if a person sins and you hang him, we would have thought to say that you hang him and then you kill him. Kadesh Shemalcha says it just like the government does, where they hang and through that they kill him. Tamalim, that's the positive teaching of the Vav, that no, behumas vesalisa, you kill him and then you hang him, meaning we don't have him die through hanging. We first execute him, in this case we stone him, and then we hang him. Now, Hakei Tzad explains the Baisa Lamai, ultimately, how do we do this? Mashanai say we delay giving over the verdict and we don't have him hung in the morning already. Because maybe then they might be negligent in his burial and they might come to forget and violate the prohibition. Rather, they delay ad samach l'shkiyas hachama up until when the sun's about to set, so that they could be able to bury him right away. And therefore, v'gayman es dinai u'mamis naisi, so they conclude the court case, they hand down the verdict, they execute him, v'achkach kal naisi, and then they hang him. Echad kosher, echad matu, one guy ties him up, and one guy quickly unties him. In other words, there's no delay. So that they can fulfill the obligation of hanging him. But right away, they go ahead and they do this all towards nighttime so that they don't keep it long time, so that again, that he gets buried before it gets dark, so that there's no iser of Lysol Nevelase. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on the machlokes in our Mishnah. Turn about when the brisa. Pasuk says in Devarim Chaval Chavbeis that Vesalisa Isai Al, as our Gemara quotes from the Pasuk, eats. You hang him on the wood. Now, Shemeani, I would hear from that, Bein Betolish, Bein Mechuba, whatever type of wood it's hanging from, whether it was already detached from the ground, or whether it's still attached to the ground. Tamalema, that's the next pasuk after that teaches, where it says, Leisol Nevlasa Le'etzi, not let it keep his dead body on the wood. It says, Ki Kavar, because burial, where it says, Tikbarani, you shall surely bury him. Now, from this term, Ki Kavar, it's an extra word that comes to tell us that even the wood needs to be buried. Now, if that's the case, says the Braisa, Misha in the Mechusa ele Kavura, only that which is lacking, only burial. Yotzezeb, but that would exclude the case we're discussing now when it's still attached to the ground, Shemechusa Ketzitza Bekavura, where it's lacking, first detaching it, and then, meaning cutting it off from where it's growing, and then to bury it. So therefore, that would not be a viable case of something that could be used to hang him from. But if it's just stuck in the ground, that could work. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, he says, no, even if it's stuck in the ground, and this is the machlekes that we have in our Mishnah with Rabbi Yossi, even if it's stuck in the ground is being excluded from this understanding of the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk is telling us, Misha in Mechusa Ele Kavura, that we say Ki Kavur because you have to bury it. Again, we said not just the person, but also the wood that he's hanging from, only that which is lacking burial. Because it says, and bury it. Sounds like that's the next thing you could do. Yotzezesh Mechusa Telisha Ukvura, this exclude this, which has to first be taken out from the ground, and then be buried, and that's why, as he said in our Mishnah, we don't even stick it in the ground. Forget about being attached to the ground. We don't even stick it in the ground, we just have it hanging one end on the top of the wall and the other one down here, like the way the butchers do it. But Rabbanan, who disagree, they say you do stick it in the ground. They say, Tlicha Lav Klumi, taking it out of the ground is not considered lacking in action. It's not considered something significant like chopping down the tree. Therefore, they only exclude from Kikavar if it was Mechubar L'Karka. But if it's just stuck in the ground, that deal is not a problem to be able to hang him that way. Now, the Mishnah said, Kalemra, so to say, Mnei Mazet Tali, the reason why you have to bury him before night, you can't just leave him hanging there for a while, is because, so to speak, Mnei Mazet Tali, why is this guy hanging over here? Mnei Shaberich Mechulu, because he cursed God, and that's a disgrace to Hashem. Whenever they see this person, it's going to commemorate that someone had sinned, something embarrassing, so to speak, for Hashem Yisbarach. Which a different version of this type of interpretation. The Gemara brings Tanya Lina Brice. Amri Meir says, Mashlu Mashlu Ma'ad Avadayma, they compared this to a following analogy. L'shnei Achim Tu'umim Be'ir Achas, we have two twin brothers in one city. Echad Minu Melech, one of the brothers they appointed to be the king. Ve'echad Yatzal L'listayas, and the other brother went out to become a bandit. Tziva HaMelech V'tlo, so this guy committed sins, and the king commanded to hang him. Whoever's going to see him hanging and say, hey, the king is hanging, because these are identical twins. So they were the king commanded to take him down, so to a person is made in the image of God, and therefore, if a person's hanging, it has its same appearance, chas v'shalom, in correlation to Hashem, therefore that's killas elikim that's taloi, and therefore, to prevent that, that's where the person's put up, but he's quickly taken down right away, and we don't leave him overnight. Now, the Mishnah quoted Amr Meir, Chulu, etc., he gave a different interpretation in this pasuk, Kilalas, that said that, so to speak, like the Divine Presence saying that it's heavy on me that this person was killed. So the Gemara says, my mashma, what do you see from the term Kilalas, that he says, Kalani Mireshi, Kalani Mizrahi, that as if it's heavy on him. So Amar Abaye, he says, because Kamandam, it's as if the pasuk says, Kalis, meaning the word Kilalas can be broken up into two words, Kales, I am not light, to the contrary, that I'm heavy. Like as if my head is heavy on me, and that's what the Divine Presence is saying, because look at this person that was killed, what Remeah says, if he says it regarding wicked people, all the more so when a righteous person is killed. Now, but however, on Abai's interpretation, I'm like Rava asks, Im Kain, if that's the case, that when the Mishnah says, Kalani, it's not euphemistically, Rather, it's coming to say, Kalani is Kal'eni, I am not light, meaning Kalani Mireshi, Kalani Mizrahi, you're learning Abaya. That means, oh, I'm not light from my head, I'm not light from my arm, meaning I'm heavy. So then, Kovaralai Reishi, Kovaralai Zrahi Mibayi, then why are you saying it in this inverted way? Why does the Mishnah have to say in explaining this halacha of Kilas, that Kales, that I'm not light, and it's saying, it's as if Divine Presence is saying, Kilani, and what's Kilani according to you means Kal'eni, I'm not light, then let it just say, I am heavy from my head, I am heavy from my arm. Why does it say it in the other way around? So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, no. Kamanda Amar Kili Alma, it's euphemistically speaking. Yet, Kalani means to say from the word of not Kal'eni, that I'm not Kal. No, it's saying like, oh, I'm very light on my head, I'm very light on my arm. In other words, the Divine Presence doesn't want to say a term of heaviness on itself, but it's coming from the root of Kal, of light. But euphemistically, like Saginar, someone that's blind, we say he sees very much. It's euphemistically, it means to say, I'm so light, but really it's saying he's so heavy from that. However, the Gemara asks anyone this interpretation of Remeir in the Mishnah, but hi, this term kilas, mibayli legufa, is necessary for the actual halacha itself. The halacha that we mentioned, and that's where we know the halacha that whoever is niskal or for the zara that gets hung, is because the pasuk is talking about a megadif. It says kilas elikim, the one who cursed Hashem, he blasphemed against God, yet he gets hung. And from there we learn out to other ones again, as we had a machlekes in the previous Mishnah. But how could you learn that kilas means kales or kalani, whatever it is that Hashem is like, Divine Presence, so to speak, moaning over a person? But it's not an extra word. It's coming to say halacha of someone that's mekales Hashem. And that answers the Gemara, no, imkei nimekra mekal. Then the pasuk should have just said that mekal lelikim, my kilas, to say also to allude to this halacha of kales or kalani. But then the Gemara says, but if ema kulei lahachodas, and how do you know it actually refers to at all mekales Hashem? Maybe it's only talking about, because if it was, should have said mekal. Maybe from the text saying it's kalas, it's only saying this interpretation of kalani mireshi kalani mizrei. How do you know the halacha mekales Hashem gets hung? Then the Gemara says, no, imkei nimekra kilas. My kilalas, the extra lama tells us both kalani or kilas, that I'm not light, and also coming to say the halacha makal, which is that a makal Hashem is that category that gets hung after it gets stoned. And again, as we had a machlekes previous Mishnah, what that comes to include also. Then the Mishnah continues, it says, "Blazable vadbuchul," not only by someone that gets stoned and then we hang him, that then there's a negative prohibition that's violated if you leave him overnight, but anybody that died and wasn't buried is violate a prohibition if it's not buried overnight, before nighttime. So remember, he says, where do we know someone that leaves over his dead person overnight, they violate a negative prohibition? Tamalema, as the pasuk teaches, ki kover tik berenu. The extra word tik berenu comes to tell you that any person that dies is not buried. That times they teach you that if you leave the dead person overnight, there's a negative prohibition that's violated. Now, Igudami, those that say a different version, from this pasuk, it comes to teach a different halacha, an allusion to burial, that a person has to bury his dead person. Min ha-terminan, where do we know a biblical source for that? The extra word tikbarena tells you, that's an allusion to the halacha of burial in general, that a person has to be buried. The Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. The Amalei Shvar Malkal Rav Chama, King Shapur of the Persians, asked to Rav Chama, "Kavur mena tar minayin? Bring me a biblical source to prove that a person has to be buried." Ishtik v'leim l'vlemidi. So Rav Chama was silent and he didn't say anything. So Amar Bachav Yaakov, Rachav Yaakov said, "Imser alma biyadet tipshoy. The world's given over to the hands of fools. The boy leilamem kikave should have quoted the pasuk that says so that you should bury." And that the Gemara says no, because the leved lay aren. You could then, the King Shapur could have said that when it says to bury him, it means to say to put him in a coffin. But you still don't know from the pasuk that it means to say that you should bury him in the ground. And that's why he didn't answer him from that pasuk. The Gemara still asks. He's still foolish. He should have said to include it from Tikbarana, that the redundant term we said, that's the halacha we just said before, that tells you that you have to bury every person. So the Gemara, loy mashmalei. No. King Shapur, a non-Jew, would not have understood a double terminology of bury Yushal, surely bury, that comes to say a drasha from a rebbe, from extra term, and therefore he wouldn't have taken that as an answer, and therefore he didn't say anything. But the Gemara still asks, V'nei memedi covered tzaddiki. He should have proved it from the fact that the righteous, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Torah mentions that they were buried. From there you see that a person is supposed to be buried. And that the Gemara says, no, he could have said, Minhag Ba'alma. That was just a custom that they used to have in the earlier times, but it doesn't show that it's a requirement. But the Gemara still asks, he should have said that from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, it's because the divine will wants it like that, and therefore you see that you're supposed to bury. But the Gemara says, no, maybe it's just Talay Lishtani, it's just that he didn't want that Moshe Rabbeinu should be any different than Minhagar from the custom of the world, and therefore he buried him just like the custom is, but not necessarily that that's what the divine will wants, that the person has to be buried. The Gemara says, Tashma, why not? We could prove it from a Pasuk Malachim Aleph. It says that the Jewish people eulogized him and buried him, which refers to Aviah, who's the son of Yeravam, who Achia Shilaini said a prophecy regarding him in praise, because there was something good about one of these sons of Yeravam, who he stopped these centuries on the road that his father put, not letting people be Oyle Regal. So because of that reward, he was going to merit to be buried. But you see that that's what's appropriate, that a person should be buried. So he's like, no, all he was saying was that the custom that people do will not be changed by this son, but not necessarily that that's the divine will. Where it says, still says, why not bring a pasuk in Yirmiyah? It says, lo yispadu v'leikavru, they will not be eulogized, they will not be buried. L'daymin al panei adamayu, for silence on the face of the earth they will be, which refers to the wicked people of Anasis. Now, from the fact that they were cursed like this, obviously it's same because from heaven they do want burial, but they're not going to marry to it. So you see that he should have brought a proof from this pasuk in Yirmiyah, in Jeremiah. So that says, no, d'lishtani mim hagad, that when they were being cursed, was that just they're going to have to deviate from the custom. But again, it doesn't show that that's necessarily the divine will. The curse was that they won't get to do what everyone usually does. So therefore, that's why he didn't respond, because one does not have, besides the drasha, which a non-Jew wouldn't have taken, explicit proof from biblical sources. Ibailu, the following question. Kevura mishum bizyaynehu, this halacha of burial, is that because that that there shouldn't be a disgrace to everybody that see this dead person that's rotting away and bursting open? It's because of his disgrace that he's buried? Or maybe it's because so that it should be a kaparuhu, it should be an atonement for him by being submerged into the ground where he goes down to the bottom of the earth, where that's some type of deterioration, but it's an atonement for the person. Is it because of his disgrace that we don't want that to be, or is it for atonement? So the Gemara says, what's the halachic relevancy? Either way, he has to be buried. When the dying person says, I don't want that you should bury this person, meaning referring to himself. If he'd say it's because of the disgrace of the rotting body, then he doesn't have the right to have his body deteriorate in such a disgusting fashion, which is embarrassing for his relatives. But if you say it's for the atonement of the person, of his body, he says, well, I don't want the atonement. And actually, even if they would go out and bury him now, it wouldn't be an atonement anyway, because he's a denier, does not want that atonement. So why would Allah be in that case? Would we have to bury him or not? Says the Gemara, Tashma, let's come in here, we could prove it, the fact that righteous people are buried. Now, if you say that the reason why we bury someone is for atonement, do righteous people need atonement? Obviously, it's not for atonement, it's just because of the bezayin. So the Gemara, no, yes, they need atonement. Still, like it says, the apostle in Keheles, of the main tzaddik ba'aretz, there is no righteous person on this earth, as she'asa tevel yechta, they will do only good and not sin. Everyone has somewhat of a sin, and that's why we bury even tzaddikim, therefore there's no proof. Tashema, the Gemara says, coming here from a pasuk we quoted earlier regarding Aviah ben Yeravim, says, V'saftulei kol Yisrael v'kavareisa, that the Jewish people eulogize and they'll bury him, which actually, as the pasuk there continues, ki ze levada yavi leYeravim el kever, because this will be the only child of Yeravim, the wicked king, that from his sons that will be buried. Now, says the Gemara, V'yamit kehecha detav leKapari, if you're going to say that the reason of burying someone is that there should be an atonement for him, so hanachnam leKapari, then even the other sons of Yeravim should be buried, kehecha detav leKapari, that they should have an atonement. If it says bizayin, fine, so we don't care about them and their disgrace. But regarding an atonement, why should we not let a wicked person get an atonement? Says the Gemara, no. Haidi tzadiku tahav lekapara. No, that's exactly what the Navi is saying. A person that's righteous, but everyone has some sins, he'll get the atonement of being buried. Hanach lo lahav lekapara. Hashem says, no, I don't want these wicked ones to get an atonement. Tashma, the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya from one of the psukim we mentioned before. It says, regarding the wicked people of Anasis, lo yispadu v'lo yikavru. They won't be eulogized, and they won't be buried. Now, if you say the burial is because of atonement, then let them be buried and let them get atonement. The Gemara says, Delay, no, because it's not preferable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a kapara, that they should have an atonement, because even by the gateway of their grave, they don't do tshuva, and the Hashem does not want them to have that atonement of being buried. So the Gemara did not conclude if the burial is because of bezayin, of because it shouldn't be disgraced, or because of atonement. Now the Gemara continues a related discussion. He brought up the following question: the speda, the eulogy, the hesped, the levaya, yikur the chaya have it? Is that for the honor of the living? Or is it for the honor of the one who passed away? So the Gemara says, "L'may nafkamin, what's the halachic relevancy? Either way, you have to eulogize." Says the Gemara, "De amar le tispadula hu gavra," where he says, "I don't want the eulogy." Inami lafuka miyershin, or to go and take away money from the inheritors, from the relatives, meaning against their will that they have to pay. Where in Talmudic times they would pay people to be maspid to eulogize. If it's because of the honor of the one who passed away, when he says, "I don't want to be eulogized," we listen to him. Now, but if he doesn't say that, and the inheritors say, "No, we don't want this," we force them, and they have to pay for those, for the eulogizer. Now, but if you say it's for the honor of the one who's living, so then, if they don't want, so let's say for him, we don't listen to him then, because it's not about the one who passed away; it's for his relatives. And moreover, if the inheritors say we don't want because they didn't want to pay the expense of the saptanin, then we listen to them. So those are two differences regarding if it's for the one who passed away's honor or the living, if he says I don't want, or if the relatives say we don't want. So Tashma, the Gemara says, "Come and he will bring a rye from a pasuk in Bereishis." Says, "Vayavei Avram lispid l'sarvel of Kaisa," that Avram Avinu came to eulogize Sarah and to cry after her. Now, v'yamrit mishum yikur d'chayu, if you say that the eulogy is for the honor of the living, which in this case was Avram, so mishum yikur d'Avram mashul l'sarah. So because of the honor of Avram, so then they delayed the burial of Sarah because Avram Avinu was coming from where he did that kedan Yitzchak, as it said v'yav Avram that he came. Obviously, up until that point, he wasn't there, so they delayed her burial. If you say it's because of the honor of the one who passed away, so we'll delay it for their honor. Avram Avinu was the greatest orator probably at that time. But if you say it's for the honor of Avram, so we delay Sarah's burial for Avram's honor. So the Gemara, Sarah gufan nechala. What do you mean? Sarah herself would have preferred kehechad miyakab Avram, that yes, that her husband should get honored, and therefore she would have wanted her burial to be delayed for her husband to be honored in the eulogy. Tashmat, the Gemara tries to bring a different raya. Another pasuk we mentioned before, Malachim Aleph, says v'saf dublay kol Yisrael v'kavro Yisrael, that all the Jewish people eulogized him and buried him. Now, v'yamrit mishum yikur d'chayuhu, if you say that the eulogy is for the honor of the ones who are living, hanach b'nei yikur ninu, what, do you think the other siblings, the whole household of Yeravim that was left over, you think they're people that are fitting to get honored? They were wicked. If it's for this one child, Aviyah, that was worthy, so that would make sense if it's Yikr D'Shachvi. But if it's Yikr D'Chai, then why would we go ahead and eulogize for the wicked? So it's given, Nichiluhu Letzadikaya, it's preferable for righteous people, in this case this Aviyah, to Miyakr Behu Inchi, that people, his relatives, should be honored through him. So although they're wicked and it's for their honor, he would have preferred it, and that's why, in that way, they went and honored him by eulogizing him, which is then an honor for his relatives. So the Gemara says, Tashma. The Gemara tries to bring a different proof. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu we mentioned before that says, Lo yisaftu li kavru. They will not eulogize these wicked people of Anasis, and they won't be buried. Now, if you say it's for the honor of the living, but why? So although the ones who died are wicked, but the leftovers, the remnants, are righteous, and that's why they didn't die. So then why don't we eulogize them when it's for the honor of the remaining ones who are still living? So the Gemara, Le'nichel et tzadikai demiyakab irshi'ai, because the righteous prefer not to be honored through a wicked person. And since here this whole honor they'll be getting of the eulogy, where everyone's coming up for the levaya for them and eulogizing it, they're going to get honor through a wicked person who are the ones who passed away. They don't want it, and that's why, although it's for the yikr d'chaya, that's why there was no eulogy for these wicked people. Now it says, Tashma, try to bring a different raya. Passing in Yirmiyah, which was, Yirmiyah said to Tzidkiyahu, he said, B'shalom tamos, in peace you will die, ubi mesrafes avesecha, and in the burnings of your father, hamalachim rishon mashay lefanecha, the first kings that came before you, ken yisipolach, so do they'll burn for you, which was a certain custom they had with the kings. V'hai adin, and woe, to master yisipolach, that's how they'll eulogize you. They're going to say, oh, what a loss. Now, says the Gemara, V'yamet mishum yikadechayuhu, if you say that the whole hesped is because of the honor of the living, my nafkele, what does he care? Why are you saying, oh, yo, they're going to make such a hesped for you, but what's not for me? You're saying the hesped is for the living ones. So why is that something that Tzidkiyahu would want to hear? That's his Gemara. Hachi Kamalei, this is what he told them. The Yakru Beich Yisrael, the Jewish people will be honored through you, ki heichad mishakar b'avosach, just like they were honored through your fathers, and that is something that he wants to hear, because it's through him that the vehicle will be, that the Jewish people will be honored, and therefore, yes, although it's Zikr D'chaye, it could be that he would still be something that we want to hear, and therefore the Gemara did not prove either way is the hesped for Yikr D'chaye or Yikr D'shach, which that continues that discussion on the next daf.